Hello, church. Greetings to all of you who have joined us on this Christmas weekend from wherever you are. To those of you who are serving our nation somewhere, God bless you. We're so glad that you're a part of this service. And if you're in another city, maybe you're with family and friends and you're joining us at our online campus or here in our service worshiping with us, we welcome you. And we pray that this Christmas is unique and special as you celebrate the birth of Jesus. Our team encouraged me this year to share some updates of our family with all of you. And as many of you know, Sheila and I have one daughter, Jody, and we have the best son-in-law in all of the world, Ryan. We're blessed to have them working with us. They're part of our team, serving as our Bellevue pastors and campus pastors. We have two grandsons, Kyan, who is 7. Kyan's favorite subject in school is math. He loves basketball and he loves Beyblades and he loves his papa. And then we have Cody, who is our baby. He's 2 years old, and Cody likes to sneak in and he acts like he's hugging on me when he's actually, his hands are roaming around in my pockets looking for my iPhone. he likes music. He's outgoing. He's a little thrill seeker. So we're so blessed with our family. We love our family. And you're looking at some photos of them right now as we celebrate the holidays together. I also want to show you a clip of me with both boys when we were hanging out recently. I think you'll enjoy this. Whipped cream in the air, in the mouth. That's what we're gonna do. On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Go.
Go. Yeah! The Christmas story has had a profound effect on humanity, not because there was a stable, a donkey, or some shepherds, but because the Bethlehem story was actually the cover for heaven to implement a covert operation that brought God's presence, His power, and His grace into the everyday commonplace of life here on earth. It was heaven visiting earth to accomplish the extraordinary in an ordinary way. There's three highlights of the Christmas story when added together that wakes up the wonder of Christmas and produces a sense of amazement, incredible gratitude, and unshakable hope to those who believe. The wonder of Christmas is this. God came down, sinners are saved, hurts are healed, which means humans have hope. The wonder of Christmas begins with the awareness that God came down. God put on an earth suit. God came down. The scripture says in Matthew 1 that all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God was so hungry to connect with man that he came through the human birth canal to experience what it's like to be human. It's pretty profound when you actually consider that he wanted to be like us. He wanted to feel like us, to have family like us, to laugh like us, have friends like us, and then the opposite, like to lose friends like us, struggle like us, to be lonely. God wanted to be lonely. Can you imagine? He wanted to feel lonely like us, hurt like us, so that you and I would know that he knows. And that we would realize that he understands what it's like to be frustrated, rejected, disappointed, to have grief and sorrow, to be human. So it's not as hard to know sometimes that God is with you when life is good, but the challenge is to remember that He is with us. He is with us when we are in battles and struggles and valleys and hardship, that God is with us. And that's really the wonder of Christmas. That's the beginning of what we have created in this equation, is that it all begins with the idea that God came down. Emmanuel, God is with us. Psalms 23 and verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The psalmist is literally saying what we're wanting to dwell on and think about and stare at this Christmas weekend, is that God, I walk through valleys, but you are with me. You see, there's no better time than Christmas to remind yourself that God is with me. God came to help me. He is for me. And especially if you're facing problems, this is a good time to know that the presence of problems doesn't mean the absence of God. Christmas is the ultimate reminder. It's a great time for us all to have a heightened awareness that God wants us to know Him as Emmanuel. Not a distant God, not a far-off God, not a God on the other side of the clouds, but a God who came down and a God who is with us. The second part of the equation is that sinners are saved. So God is with us and sinners are saved. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 reads like this. It says that Mary will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. Now this is an angel talking to Joseph and he says, you're to give him the name Jesus, and here's why. Because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. So God, we're talking about the wonder of Christmas. God came down and sinners are saved. Now, before you start thinking negative thoughts about that word sin, and by the way, we live in a world right now where being politically correct means that, you know, you don't think of yourself as a sinner. That's like self-deprecating, and the word sin is one that people cringe at, and even in church life and society today, you know, it's just not a word that people readily accept. And I want to help you understand that that's really the beginning of something really positive that God wants to do in your life. The realization, I mean, honestly, if we just talk honestly today, it's hard to go through life and not realize that there's something fundamentally wrong with the world. Like, it's hard to face every day, look at headlines and be around real people and not realize there's something fundamentally wrong. And oftentimes we try to explain it in all kinds of other ways, when actually it's just the reality that we are born in sin. Our nature is sinful. And when we realize that, it can begin something really positive in all of our lives. One day, Cody, my youngest grandson, when he was about 15 months old, we were together, we were hanging out, and I was asking him a question about whether he had had a popsicle or not. Now, at that point, he's already experimenting with not telling the truth. So he's not even 2 years old. And although he had just had a popsicle, he didn't want to own up to it. So have a look at this video clip.
Ask you again, did you have a popsicle?
No.
Cody, did you have a popsicle, brother?
No.
I think you did.
You just had a popsicle.
Yeah. You like God?
Yeah. So that's pretty funny there, and it helps us realize that even as children, we start to entertain devious ways or ways of getting out of telling the truth. You know, if you're avoiding God or being committed to church because you're aware of your sin and you realize you don't measure up to God's standard of righteousness, then here's what you're doing. You're underestimating the wonder of Christmas. For example, I've heard people say, well, I don't go to church because I'm struggling and I don't want to be a hypocrite. As noble as that sounds, first of all, church doesn't help people who think they're perfect. Church helps people who know they're not perfect and that they need God's grace and they need God's word and that we need God's people. So if you've had that tendency today, I want to remind you that avoiding God and avoiding church is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to keep dwelling on the gap between where you are and God's standards. But how about this Christmas, you decide to not let your sin or your mistakes or your bad habits create distance between you and God. But rather, how about this Christmas, you start seeing sin and bad habits as something that'll mess up your life, it'll hold you back from God's plan and God's best in your life. I mean, stop assuming that God's mad about your failures or your sin or ashamed of you. Stop letting condemnation control you and start focusing on God's unconditional love for you. It's the wonder of Christmas. Sinners are saved. Sinners are saved. How about you focus on the idea that God loves me no matter what and start investing yourself wholeheartedly in what you can do right and what you can do to please God and to serve His calling and His purpose in your life. How about you start proclaiming your salvation and confessing your love for God? Talk about and celebrate His goodness. Get plugged into a church and help spread the life-giving message of Christmas. Let's go back into the graphic again. We're going to put it on the screen, the wonder of Christmas. In fact, I'm going to invite you right now, if you want to grab your phone and snap a photo, you can do that right now of the screen. It's like this. This is what we call the wonder, the amazing elements of Christmas. God came down. Sinners are saved. Hurts are healed. And then when you put all of that together, it means there is hope for humanity. So let's talk about a little bit about hurts being healed. You know, shortly after I got my driver's license, I wrecked the car that my dad had given me. Not only did I wreck it, but it was my fault. So I had been prideful and foolish, and I remember as I stood waiting for my dad to come, I was standing in the corner of a parking lot of a gas station, and I remember feeling ashamed, and I felt embarrassed, and I wanted to just run and hide. You know, I went from this big high that, you know, a teenager might would have, you know, now I'm a man, I have a car, I'm a driver, and here I am, I've done something that was just foolish. And I didn't see my dad pull in, but all of a sudden I felt his arms around me and I realized that he wasn't angry at me. And as he hugged me, he asked me with just this sincere concern if I was okay. And that moment was the beginning of my dad supporting me, dusting shame off of me and telling me that I was a good driver and just reminding me that it's going to be okay. And he gave me grace and he gave me love and he gave me words of affirmation. And he literally built back over the next few days my confidence in saying, no, you're going to drive. I'm not going to drive. You're going to drive. You're going to drive me. And, you know, he was letting me know, I believe in you, son. And the point is that some of you need to know that Jesus sees the mistakes that you have made. He sees the fractured, broken places of your soul, the insecurity that is a byproduct of bad relationships and wrong decisions, self-destructive behavior. And what I want you to understand, yes, He came to save the sinner from your sins, but He didn't want to just leave you there. He also came to heal you. He came to heal our hurts. He came to stand you up, to dust you off, to wipe your tears, to help you get free of the shame, and to give you a new sense of dignity and identity as a son or daughter of God. God came down. Let's look at it. The wonder of Christmas. God came down. Sinners are saved. And yes, hurts are healed. Hurts are healed. You're saying, but Pastor Kevin, right now I'm really hurting on the inside. We're going to pray with you in just a minute. But I want you to have faith in your heart right now to understand the bigness of our God and that God can heal the innermost places of your heart and the places of your soul. And He can mend up areas of your life where you just feel fractured and small and even maybe embarrassed today by things that have happened. He came to prop you up, stand you up, heal you, make you whole, and make you well again, which is why we say so confidently, humans have hope. God came down, sinners are saved, hurts are healed, and all of that together means humans have hope. No Jesus, no hope. No Bethlehem, no hope. A baby changes everything. There's no better time than Christmas for us all to open up our eyes and our perspective, to see the wonder, the brilliance, to stop, to stare, and to take in the wonder of Christmas. To sing about it, talk about it, celebrate it, to not just let this be a tradition of going to church, but to let the hope of Christmas get into our hearts and our minds and our spirit this holiday and free up those expectations so that you can know that God is with me, that God has saved me, that hurts are being healed right now in my own life as I follow Christ. As I close the message today, I know that many of you have things in your life that are less than perfect this Christmas. Maybe you are far from family and friends, and maybe you haven't had the money to buy gifts that you wanted to buy or to take part in some of the holiday festivities this year. There's probably some of you who have lost loved ones recently, this past year, or even in the past few weeks. So you're not feeling the best about yourself. You're not feeling great about your circumstances. The Bible teaches us to be anxious about nothing, but in all things by prayer, to make our requests known to God. And that when we do that, God's peace will fill our hearts and our mind. So if you're troubled, if you have a heavy heart, if you're physically down, I want to pray with you today. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to invite you, while I pray and as I pray, to just lean into this prayer, make it your prayer, if you would, today. Father, I thank you for every person that's in the house. And I thank you today, God, that we are all able to be a part of your promises and your hope. And right now, I thank you that you invite us to bring our cares, all of our cares, to you. We pray right now for supernatural strength to be in all of our lives. Fill our hearts, fill our minds, lift the burden, I pray. Heal the hurt, I pray. As we worship you tonight and through the day, tomorrow, and into Christmas, I just pray that you help us to get our minds off the things that are bringing us down and on the blessings that you provide this season and all year round. We confess right now that we are blessed, and that we have everything we need. In Jesus' name we pray. There's some of you who are here, and this service is designed to be the new beginning in your life and in your relationship with God. God's talking to you. He's drawing you to give your life to Him, to get planted in a church, and to start the new year with a new direction in your life. See, your direction is what determines your destiny. And some of you, God's talking to you right now about switching your direction, heading off into a new direction, making different choices, beginning with making up your mind that you are going right now to give your life to Him and that you're going to make him the leader and the Lord of your life. You see, you belong in relationship with God and with his people, and this is the turning point for you. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation, and I invite you, just pray with me. Pray with all of our church family. We're going to pray this out loud, so join in with us if you would right now. Say with me, say, Dear Jesus, I invite you today to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and make me a new person. Beginning right now, I belong to you. I am God's property. Thank you for my salvation, for my new life. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. And all of our church family together, come on, let's shout a great big amen. And let's just give these folks a great big welcome. Let's celebrate new beginnings in the house today.